I'm still shaken by the EKS cluster meltdown we witnessed last quarter, where a simple misconfiguration of the AWS load balancer controller led to a cascading failure of our entire application stack, taking down multiple business-critical services and resulting in a whopping $250,000 loss in revenue, all because we overlooked a subtle interaction between the controller's cluster name flag and the VPC CNI's EKS2 metadata 8 timeout setting, which ultimately caused our pods to lose connectivity to the ELBV2. And what's even more disturbing is that our guard duty setup didn't catch the initial anomaly that triggered the whole mess, highlighting the importance of fine-tuning its finding publishing frequency parameter to ensure timely detection of such threats.
What makes that even harder is when you're dealing with a mix of managed node groups and Fargate, like we are. Because the moment you introduce Fargate into the equation, you have to start worrying about the added complexity of networking and security groups for pods, not to mention the potential for cost overrun if you're not careful with your pod execution role and the Fargate profile flag. And we actually ran into this last quarter when our Fargate tasks started, getting stuck in the pending state due to a mismatch between our VPC CNI config and the IAM roles assigned to the tasks, which led us to reevaluate our EKS blueprints with Terraform and consider implementing a more robust cluster autoscaler setup, possibly leveraging Carpenter for more efficient node management.
I'd push back on that. In our experience, Carpenter can be a game changer for optimizing node utilization, but it requires careful consideration of your workload patterns and the node template flags to ensure you're not over-provisioning or under-provisioning. And what's more, when you combine Carpenter with EKS managed node groups, you have to think about the implications for your EKS pod identity and our SA setup. Because if you're not using the OECS issuer URL flag correctly, you can end up with authentication issues for your pods. And we've seen cases where the pod's identity is not properly registered with the IAM roles, leading to permission errors and failed deployments. So it's crucial to understand the differences between EKS pod identity and RSA and how they interact with your VPC, CNI, and security groups for.
The thing most teams miss about that is the importance of monitoring and logging in EKS, particularly when you're running a multi-tenant cluster with various workload types, because if you're not, collecting the right metrics and logs, you'll be flying blind when it comes to troubleshooting issues like the one Daniel mentioned earlier. And we found that leveraging tools like AWS CloudWatch and FluentBit can provide valuable insights into our EKS cluster's performance and security posture, but it requires careful configuration of the log driver, flags, and the CloudWatch agent to ensure you're capturing the right data. And what's more, when you're dealing with a large-scale EKS deployment, you need to think about cost optimization strategies, such as using spot instances and reservations to reduce your EC2 costs. And we've seen significant savings by implementing a mixed pricing model that combines on-demand and spot instances. But it requires careful planning and monitoring to ensure you're not compromising on availability or performance.
We actually ran into a scenario where our spot instances were being terminated prematurely due to a mismatch between our bid price and the market price, which caused a significant disruption to our application. And what we learned from that experience is the importance of using the spot instance interruption behavior flag to control the termination behavior of our spot instances, and combining that with a well-designed cluster autoscaler setup to ensure that our node pool can recover quickly from such events. And I'd like to dive deeper into the specifics of our EKS blueprints with Terraform, because we've developed some custom modules that simplify the deployment and management of our EKS clusters, including the integration with Carpenter and the AWS load balancer controller. And we've also developed some advanced patterns for securing our EKS clusters using guard duty and IAM roles, which I think would be valuable to share with our listeners.
What makes our EKS blueprints unique is the way we've modularized the configuration of our VPC, CNI, and security groups for pods, using a combination of Terraform modules and AWS CloudFormation. Templates to create a flexible and reusable framework for deploying and managing our EKS clusters. And we've also developed some custom scripts that automate the deployment and configuration of our AWS load balancer controller, including the integration with our external DNS provider. And I think it's worth exploring the implications of using EKS managed node groups versus Fargate. Because while Fargate provides a lot of convenience and flexibility, it can also introduce additional complexity and cost, especially when you're dealing with large-scale deployments. And we've seen cases where the added cost of Fargate outweighs its benefits. So it's crucial to carefully evaluate your workload requirements and choose the right deployment strategy for your EKS cluster.
When evaluating the trade-offs between EKS managed node groups and Fargate, it's essential to consider the security implications, such as the management of node groups, pod security policies, and network policies. And we've implemented a combination of AWS IAM roles, Kubernetes, role-based access control, and network policies to control access to our EKS cluster. And we've also utilized AWS CloudWatch and AWS CloudTrail to monitor and log security-related events, including API calls, pod creation, and network traffic. And I think it's worth noting that we've also enabled Kubernetes auditing and logging using tools like Falco and FluentD, which provide real-time alerts and notifications for potential security threats.
We've also developed a set of custom CloudFormation templates that integrate with our existing enterprise security frameworks, including our identity and access management systems and our vulnerability management tools. And these templates enable us to automate the deployment and configuration of our EKS clusters, including the integration with our external security tools, such as our SIEM systems and our threat intelligence platforms. And we've also implemented a set of custom scripts that automate the deployment and configuration of our Kubernetes network policies, including the integration with our existing network firewalls and segmentation policies. And I think it's worth exploring the implications of using Kubernetes service meshes, such as Istio and Linkerd, to provide additional security and observability features.
When it comes to real-world examples, we've seen cases where customers have used EKS to deploy and manage large-scale containerized applications, including machine learning workloads and data analytics platforms, and we've worked with customers to implement advanced use cases, such as using Kubernetes device plugins to integrate with external hardware accelerators, and using Kubernetes Flex volumes to integrate with external storage systems. And we've also seen cases where customers have used EKS to deploy and manage hybrid cloud environments, including on-premises data centers and public cloud providers such as AWS and Azure. And I think it's worth noting that we've also developed a set of custom tools and scripts that automate the deployment and configuration of our EKS clusters, including the integration with our existing IT service management systems.
We've also worked with customers to implement enterprise patterns for EKS, including the use of Kubernetes federations to manage multiple EKS clusters and the use of Kubernetes multi-tenancy to manage multiple workloads on a single EKS cluster. And we've developed a set of custom templates and scripts that automate the deployment and configuration of our EKS clusters, including the integration with our existing enterprise IT systems, such as our CMDB and our ITSM systems. And we've also implemented a set of custom dashboards and monitoring tools that provide real-time visibility into our EKS clusters, including the health and performance of our pods and the utilization of our cluster resources. And I think it's worth exploring the implications of using cloud-native tools such as Kubernetes Dashboard and Prometheus to provide additional monitoring and observability features for our EKS clusters.
When it comes to war stories, we've seen cases where customers have experienced issues with their EKS clusters, including pod scheduling failures and network connectivity issues. And we've worked with customers to troubleshoot and resolve these issues, including the use of Kubernetes debugging tools, such as kubectl and kubeadium, and the use of AWS CloudWatch and AWS CloudTrail to monitor and log cluster events. And we've also developed a set of custom scripts and tools that automate the troubleshooting and resolution of common EKS issues, including the use of Kubernetes self-healing features such as pod auto-scaling and self-healing. And I think it's worth noting that we've also implemented a set of custom integration points with our existing systems, including our incident management systems and our problem management.
We've also worked with customers to implement advanced use cases for EKS, including the use of Kubernetes batch processing to run large-scale batch jobs, and the use of Kubernetes cron jobs to run scheduled tasks. And we've developed a set of custom templates and scripts that automate the deployment and configuration of our EKS clusters, including the integration with our existing enterprise IT systems, such as our workflow management systems and our business intelligence systems. And we've also implemented a set of custom security controls and compliance frameworks that meet the requirements of our customers' regulatory environments, including HIPAA, PCI DSS, and GDPR. And I think it's worth exploring the implications of using EKS to deploy and manage machine learning workloads, including the use of Kubernetes device. Plugins to integrate with external hardware accelerators, such as GPUs and TPUs.
When it comes to integration points, we've worked with customers to integrate their EKS clusters with a wide range of external systems, including CI/CD pipelines and IT service management systems. And we've developed a set of custom APIs and scripts that automate the integration of our EKS clusters with these external systems, including the use of Kubernetes APIs, such as the Kubernetes API server, and the use of AWS APIs, such as the AWS CloudFormation API. And we've also implemented a set of custom dashboards and monitoring tools that provide real-time visibility into our EKS clusters, including the health and performance of our pods and the utilization of our cluster resources. And I think it's worth noting that we've also developed a set of custom security controls and compliance frameworks that meet the requirements of our customers' regulatory environments.
We've also seen cases where customers have used EKS to deploy and manage containerized applications in hybrid cloud environments, including on-premises data centers and public cloud providers such as AWS and Azure. And we've worked with customers to implement advanced use cases, such as using Kubernetes Federation to manage multiple EKS clusters and using Kubernetes multi-tenancy to manage multiple workloads on a single EKS cluster. And we've developed a set of custom templates and scripts that automate the deployment and configuration of our EKS clusters, including the integration with our existing enterprise IT systems, such as our CMDB and our ITSM systems. And we've also implemented a set of custom security controls and compliance frameworks that meet the requirements of our customers' regulatory environments, including HIPAA, PCI DSS, and GDPR. And I think it's worth exploring the implications of using cloud-native tools such as Kubernetes Dashboard and Prometheus to provide additional monitoring and observability features for our EKS clusters.
When it comes to security considerations, we've worked with customers to implement a wide range of security controls and compliance frameworks for their EKS clusters, including the use of Kubernetes, network policies, and the use of AWS IAM roles and permissions. And we've developed a set of custom scripts and tools that automate the deployment and configuration of our EKS clusters, including the integration with our existing security systems, such as our CM systems and our threat intelligence platforms. And we've also implemented a set of custom dashboards and monitoring tools that provide real-time visibility into our EKS clusters, including the health and performance of our pods and the utilization of our cluster resources. And I think It's worth noting that we've also developed a set of custom integration points with our existing IT systems, including our incident management systems and our problem management systems.
We've also seen cases where customers have used EKS to deploy and manage containerized applications in regulated industries, such as healthcare and finance. And we've worked with customers to implement advanced use cases, such as using Kubernetes to deploy and manage HIPAA 2, NMAPA 2, not a 50 that comfortable, and time HIPAA 2 AQN dot init that comfortable. Perfect. There's a NEP developed a set of custom templates within the scripts, and we've developed a set of custom templates and scripts that automate the deployment and configuration of our EKS clusters, including the integration with our existing enterprise IT systems, such as our CMDB and our ITSM systems. And we've also implemented a set of custom security controls and compliance frameworks that meet the requirements of our customers' regulatory environments, including HIPAA, PCI DSS, and GDPR. And I think it's worth exploring implications of using cloud-native tools, such as Kubernetes Dashboard and Prometheus, to provide additional monitoring and observability features for our EKS clusters.
We've been running EKS in production for over a year now, and one of the key takeaways is the importance of implementing a robust monitoring and logging strategy, which includes integrating with tools like ELK Stack, Splunk, and Datadog to provide real-time visibility into cluster performance, node utilization, and application metrics. And we've also developed a set of custom dashboards that provide a unified view of our EKS clusters, including node status, pod status, and container metrics. And we're using tools like Grafana to visualize our metrics and Kibana to visualize our logs. And we've also implemented a set of alerts and notifications that trigger when certain conditions are met, such as node failures or pod evictions.
In terms of real-world examples, we've had several use cases where we've had to integrate EKS with existing enterprise systems, such as our load balancers, firewalls, and intrusion detection systems. And we've developed a set of custom scripts and templates that automate that configuration and deployment of these systems, including the integration with our EKS clusters. And we've also implemented a set of security controls and compliance frameworks that meet the requirements of our customers' regulatory environments, including HIPAA, PCI DSS, and GDPR. And we're using tools like AWS Config and AWS CloudTrail to monitor and log all changes to our EKS clusters and underlying infrastructure. And we're also using tools like Kubernetes Network policies to control traffic flow between pods and services.
One of the war stories I can share is when we had to troubleshoot a performance issue with one of our EKS clusters, and we used tools like Qkyle, Qbadium, and Kubelet to gather logs and metrics, and we also used tools like Sysdig and tcpdump to capture network traffic and system calls, and we were able to identify the root cause of the issue, which was a misconfigured network policy that was causing excessive packet loss and latency. And we were able to fix the issue by updating the network policy and redeploying the affected pods. And we've since implemented a set of automated tests and validations to catch similar issues before they affect production.
We've also developed a set of enterprise patterns and best practices for deploying and managing EKS clusters, including the use of infrastructure as code tools like Terraform and AWS CloudFormation, and the use of automated testing and validation tools like Canonche and Untracked. And we're using tools like AWS Code Pipeline and AWS Code Build, test and deployment of our EKS clusters. And we're also using tools like Kubernetes Cluster Autoscaler to automatically scale our EKS clusters based on workload demand. And we're using tools like AWS Autoscaling to automatically scale our underlying infrastructure, such as our EC2 instances and RDS databases.
In terms of advanced use cases, we've been exploring the use of EKS to deploy and manage machine learning workloads, including the use of tools like TensorFlow and PyTorch, and we're using tools like Kubernetes device plugins to provision and manage specialized hardware, such as GPUs and TPUs, and we're also using tools like Kubernetes distributed training to scale and manage machine learning workloads across multiple nodes and clusters. And we're using tools like AWS SageMaker to automate the build, train, and deployment of machine learning models.
We've also been exploring the use of EKS to deploy and manage serverless workloads, including the use of tools like AWS Lambda and AWS Fargate. And we're using tools like Kubernetes Serverless to automate the deployment and management of serverless functions. And we're using tools like AWS API Gateway to manage and secure API traffic. And we're using tools like AWS X-Ray to monitor and debug serverless applications. And we're also using tools like Kubernetes Service Mesh to manage and secure service-to-service communication.
Another area we've been focusing on is integration points with other AWS services, such as AWS IAM, AWS Cognito, and AWS CloudWatch. And we're using tools like AWS Security Token Service to authenticate and authorize access to our EKS clusters. And we're using tools like AWS CloudWatch to monitor and log our EKS clusters. And we're using tools like AWS CloudTrail to track and record all changes to our EKS clusters and underlying infrastructure.
We're also using tools like AWS Config to monitor and enforce compliance with our EKS clusters. And we're using tools like AWS CloudFormation to automate the deployment and configuration of our EKS clusters. And we're using tools like AWS Code Pipeline to automate the build, test, and deployment of our EKS clusters. And we're using tools like Kubernetes Federation to manage and coordinate multiple EKS clusters across different regions and accounts. And we're using tools like AWS organizations to manage and govern access to our EKS clusters and underlying.
From a security perspective, we're using tools like AWS IAM to authenticate and authorize access to our EKS clusters. And we're using tools like Kubernetes network policies to control traffic flow between pods and services. And we're using tools like Kubernetes Secret Management to securely store and manage sensitive data, such as API keys and certificates. And we're using tools like AWS CloudWatch to monitor and log our EKS clusters. And we're using tools like AWS CloudTrail to track and record all changes to our EKS clusters and underlying.
We're also using tools like Kubernetes audit logs to track and record all changes to our EKS clusters. And we're using tools like AWS Config to monitor and enforce compliance with our EKS clusters. And we're using tools like AWS CloudFormation to automate the deployment and configuration of our EKS clusters. And we're using tools like Kubernetes Federation to manage and coordinate multiple EKS clusters across different regions and accounts. And we're using tools like AWS organizations to manage and govern access to our EKS clusters and underlying infrastructure. And we're also using tools like AWS Security Hub to monitor and respond to security threats and vulnerabilities.
All right, so as we wrap up this episode on AWS EKS in production, I think there are a few key takeaways that stand out to me. First, security is a top priority, and using tools like AWS Config and AWS Security Hub can really help you monitor and enforce compliance with your EKS clusters. Second, automation is key, and using tools like AWS CloudFormation can really streamline your deployment and configuration process. And third, observability is crucial, and using tools like Prometheus and Grafana can help you get a better understanding of what's going on in your clusters.
I agree with all of those, Daniel, but I'd add a few more. For me, networking is a critical aspect of EKS in production, and using tools like AWS CNI and Calico can really help you manage and secure your network traffic. I'd also say that cost optimization is a big one. And using tools like AWS Cost Explorer and Kubernetes Vertical Pod Autoscaling can help you save money and reduce waste. And finally, I think it's really important to have a good understanding of your EKS cluster's performance and reliability. And using tools like AWS X-Ray and New Relic can help you get a better understanding of what's going on.
I think we're both on the same page, but I have to disagree with you on the importance of networking. I think security is still the top priority. And if you don't have a solid security foundation, nothing else matters.
But Daniel, if you don't have a solid networking foundation, your security measures are going to be for naught. I mean, if your network is compromised, it doesn't matter how many security tools you have in place.
I see your point, but I still think security is the more critical aspect. Maybe we can agree to disagree on this one.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Well, it's been a great conversation, and I think our listeners will really appreciate the insights we've shared today.
Absolutely. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and follow us on social media for more updates and discussions on cloud computing and AWS.
And if you have any questions or topics you'd like to discuss, feel free to reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you.
Sounds good. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you soon.